You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Mama's Talking Loud. I'm Kara Cooper.
And I'm Jessica Rush. And today we are speaking with Benita Hamilton and Lindsay Northen about what it's like to be a mom in a long-running Broadway show.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Mama's Talking Loud. I'm Kara Cooper.
And I'm Jessica Rush. Thanks for joining us again.
Today, we have Lindsay Northen and Benita Hamilton. And the theme for today is what it's like to be a mom and be in a long-running Broadway show. So
those nice government gigs,
exactly. Broadway shows. Basically the best thing ever, but certainly come with some drawbacks, I think. Lindsay, let's start with you. What show are you in? And how long have you been there?
I'm in Wicked, and I have been in Wicked since 2007. So 12 years, almost 13.
Woo!
That's a long time, folks.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Like, when I started Wicked, George W. Bush was the president.
That's a very good frame of reference.
Yeah.
I was in the green room when Obama got elected the first and second time.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it was a fun day.
But I have to say, we've got Benita here, and she's gonna beat you on this game.
No way.
I am in The Lion King, and I started The Lion King. My debut was September 29th, 2004. So I've been in the show for 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm so impressed that you know the date.
Oh, I don't know the date.
I remember January 7th.
I remember my first rehearsal date for the show, August 31st, 2004.
Yes.
Wow. I don't remember.
Well, you guys have more dates to keep track of.
But I don't remember who the president was, though.
Oh, okay.
Well, so, there you go.
There you go.
All right.
We could Google it.
It would have been Bush.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you clearly were in the show, in these shows, before you were mothers.
Yes.
So talk to us about what that was like. So you got pregnant while you were in the show?
Tell us your kids' names and their ages.
Yes.
We skipped
that's
a part.
That's helpful. and then let us know. Yeah, give us some insight into what that experience was.
So my daughter is Nia Benita, and my son is Noah Hamilton. Nia is 14, and Nia is 14, and Noah is 11. And I got pregnant 6 months after I started the show.
What?
I mean, that's the way to do it, though, when you get in one of those shows.
Well,
this one's not going anywhere.
Just take care of that.
When I booked Jersey Boys, someone said, you need to move your wedding date up so you can start trying to get pregnant now that you have
It was, I don't know what my brain was thinking, but I worked until I was 8 months pregnant.
What?
Carrying a 30-pound puppet.
Wow.
And they kept saying, you can stop. And I was like, no. Nobody else will do my gig. You know, your brain does something really weird. Track. You kick into survival. So I would do my first, the first scene is Chow Down. I would come off. I had hyperemesis. I would come off. Man. My dresser had a bucket for me. I would
just a
you
barfing
know,
hyena.
Barf a barfing hyena. I would barf and then I would come back on. Or sometimes I wouldn't be able to. And my understudy would come on, and she had dreads at the time. She didn't have any makeup on, and her dreads would come out of the hood. And she, because it was a matter of a 2 minute change, yeah. you know, just a song, a short song. So
wow.
for the next scene.
See, I wanted to stay longer at Wicked, and I definitely felt pressure the whole time to not look pregnant, which was, which kind of blows. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I was trying to
like
not
you have any control over that.
be pregnant while I was pregnant the whole time. because, you know, you're playing a Shiz University student. Nobody says technically to your face, you have to get out of here, you know, before you look pregnant, but they definitely push you mm-hmm. at Wicked. And they want a date. They want to get somebody in there. I mean, it's a machine, much like Lion
right,
King, I'm sure.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That machine, they're like, whatever it takes to get this smoothly running, they want you to leave as soon as possible so they can just take care of it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But like Glinda cannot be pregnant, mm-hmm. you know, because right. that is a plot point that would be an issue.
Yes.
So, yeah, I felt a lot of pressure to like not look pregnant. And so I was like really worried about weight gain and what I look like and the costumes. And somebody would like comment like, oh, I can see your little bump. And I would like fly into a rage.
yeah.
Also, because I was kind of generally emotional pregnant person.
Yeah.
But
aren't we all?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I think I was extra emotional, but yeah, it
well,
was
you're
not
a little extra.
I'm a little extra in general. but yeah, I wish that I could have enjoyed being pregnant, you know, a little bit longer and being in the show and like sort yeah. of celebrated. Instead, I was like, shh, you know,
don't talk about it.
Yeah, don't yeah. talk about it.
Well, don't get me wrong. They kept.
I mean,
asking
you weren't enjoying
me.
It. You were throwing up.
I yeah, I was. Yeah, but they kept asking me, "Well, do you have any idea when you're gonna
oh, yeah.
be going out?" And mm-hmm. I would say, "No."
You, yeah.
You. I mean, I don't think you have yeah. the right to ask me that. I
yeah.
when I decide to go, I can go. And then
you're right. They
I kept. Right. I kept just pushing myself, and my stage manager said, "You're running the equivalent of a half marathon every night on stage with your costume on.
Yeah,
and you're carrying you're creating
building
a human.
Yeah,
you know." And he said, "Cut yourself some slack. Mm-hmm. We will be here."
Oh,
and
nice.
I was like, oh, okay. But I still, and on top of it, and I might be talking out of school, I was doing the workshop for The Color Purple.
Oh my God.
You did double duty.
I was doing double duty.
And
I was getting married.
Oh my goodness, Bonita.
So she's a little insane, I think.
yeah.
So yeah, so I was working from 10 until 6 on the workshop. And then I would have a little dinner, and I had my trusty bucket next to me. Oh. And then I would go and do the show from 7, you know, 8 until 11.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
did you
I
have,
think,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think particularly with your first child, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't had a second, but you, Celia sort of talked about this when she was on with us, which is that you think your life really isn't going to change that much. Like, oh, I can just keep doing what
yeah.
I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
Control.
And then I'm just going to mm-hmm. have this baby and I'm going to go back to what I'm doing.
And the baby's
so
going
sure,
to eat vegetables. And
yes.
Just go
yes.
there.
But I'm sure yes. that's sort of what your thought process was. You're
yes.
like, well, I'm doing it. So, and I'm not going to let it slow me
it.
Down. I'm just going
right.
to keep going and grow this baby. And, you know.
It was a control thing.
Right.
And I mm-hmm. remember Donald Byrd asking me because we found out that this was a pre-Broadway workshop for The Color Purple. And he said, so when is your due date? And I said, well, my due date is October 8th. And he, what?
No, I'm sure. And you're like, and I can be ready. Like,
and I can be ready in November.
Uh-huh.
I'll be fine.
Yeah.
And he was like, huh, well, that's a control thing for
right.
me. And my daughter came 10 days late. So it was October 18th. And then I was like, no, this baby has to come out so I can, you know, do this mm-hmm. because they're going to be on Oprah. And I want to go to Oprah.
I do love Oprah. I would have done a lot for Oprah.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it did not work out that way. And the biggest lesson I learned was I am not in control of this. And I'm a control freak, mm-hmm. I think, in my house, you know.
That's a big motherhood lesson, oh, I think, sure. In general, right?
You can't control nearly as much as you want to about who they are and what they do and what
you
happens
can't control,
to them.
But you have responsibility for sure. Everything. Yeah. I think that that's really hard because you're like responsible for them, but you can't
control as much as you want to.
Yeah.
Right.
For mm-hmm. sure.
Well, tell us, and then with your son, mm-hmm. did you had learned some lessons maybe, or
I
did you
did.
Still?
I learned lots of lessons and I still worked until I was 8 months pregnant
wow.
with him.
How Mama. Did you do that?
I don't know why I did that.
Well, you know, you made a lot more money than I did while you were pregnant.
And then I
and you
went,
gotta pay for the babies.
Yeah, you gotta right. pay for the babies. But and then I went back. I had Nia in October. I went back in January 1.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow.
Wow.
So I was
that's fast.
What about with Noah?
I
mean, that's...
With Noah, I had him in August, and I'm not sure. That gets foggy for me. I think I went back in October,
had
November.
That second kid, and it all gets
it's
foggy.
It all gets really like
I don't know.
I don't know.
Either. Yeah.
Well, it was interesting because Kara was she got pregnant when we were doing Jersey Boys, so it's been interesting to hear different paths, I suppose,
yeah, for sure.
as to when people were there. I mean, Kara stayed the first time.
So I was 5 months pregnant the first time. Mm-hmm.
But I do remember you leaning back in that chair as Mary Delgado with that cigarette. Well, not a real one, mm-hmm. but and having that bump under your arm. And I was like, maybe it's time.
I remember that as well. You were like, I saw you in the show when you were that pregnant. Because I think I had just started my maternity leave. Kara and I were pregnant at the same time, which is part of why we're friends. But I think I just started my maternity leave, and there's nothing sadder than a pregnant hooker.
Wow.
She was pregnant.
There is nothing sadder than that. And I also knew you were pregnant, so I don't know if you looked pregnant or I just was like, oh,
no, but
God.
By the end, people at the stage door would be like, so which one's the pregnant one? I'm like, oh, God, okay, so whoa. I guess it's time for me to leave.
Right.
But the same thing, like, I didn't want to. I wanted to keep doing the show, and it's just an unfortunate part of storytelling, like the part of Mary Delgado couldn't physically look pregnant and so visually I couldn't do the show anymore, but physically I was totally capable of doing the show.
Well, and that's a conversation that has come up more and more, you know, as more women stay in the business and continue to try to work is that we are capable of being there for pretty much our entire pregnancy probably,
absolutely,
you know, and so it's how do you work that? You know, like if you don't have a real maternity leave, if there's nothing in place to have that happen. Now we have the paid family leave act, which is helpful.
I'm seeing people use that at Wicked.
Yeah.
Mostly dads,
actually. I was
going to
say, a lot of dads at Mormon, where my husband works,
are starting to take advantage of that. And I'm kind of loving it because Wicked, as I said before, as a huge corporate machine, you know, has definite rules they have to keep in place for when you can take off and how much you can take off. But all of them go out the window with paid family leave because the government's like, sorry about it. That dad's got to stay home with that baby, so he's not going to be there. So one of them is taking their paid family leave just like for on Sundays.
So you can split it up?
You can split it by like
that's
a day.
Amazing.
That's magical.
You can split it up however you want. So
maybe I'll
like,
have another baby.
I was going
like,
to say
yeah,
that.
Right? Yeah. Just by the time that baby's born, you're going to get like even more time. But yeah, so I am encouraged when I see that, and that's
for sure.
That's a good thing.
For sure, because I think, you know, you can't, like you said, people can hint or say, how are you feeling? Or do you think you may want to?
Don't you think it might be time?
Yeah, because they can't actually. I remember when I worked at Disney, at Disney World, in the theme parks way back in the early 2000s, and we had someone who was pregnant, but instead of them losing money, losing income, and not working, once they couldn't do the show anymore, Disney found another position for
them.
Yeah,
they
you know what
over.
I mean? Like, they shifted them to the wardrobe department, maybe, to fold clothes or, you know, whatever. But, and I think that that's an interesting conversation to have, that we are still capable, and we'd still like to earn our living.
Yeah. I'm not trying to mess up the story, pregnant Glinda at Shiz University, but, like, you know, give me another option.
Right. Exactly.
It was so funny. One of our, a while ago, one of our Nalas got sick in the middle of the show. And the only understudy in the show was 6 months pregnant. And so at the end of the show, here comes this 6 month pregnant Nala.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a unitard situation, right? I mean,
yes,
a unitard, and a corset, yes.
That's a snug
and but it
changes the story
a
lot.
She was working. Yeah, it does. Right. But and it was the biggest joke. We laughed, and it's kind of like,
what are you gonna do, you know?
Yeah, it's Lion King lore. It's you know.
Well, I think as audience members, it's clearly that someone is pregnant. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think that we're able to separate it. I think so, to a certain degree.
It takes
degree,
a second,
you know?
You separate it, and then
you
move on.
And then you move on. Yeah. Like, it's...
Yeah. Well, and one of the things is that there are pregnant people everywhere in real life.
Yeah.
So if a story is trying to imitate real life, unless it impedes the storytelling. Like, there could have been a pregnant girl at Shiz University.
Oh, for sure.
Not necessarily Glinda,
probably,
but...
Not. And, but also, just to... remind everyone, I don't actually play Glinda. I'm an understudy for Glinda.
Right, but that's part of your responsibility.
So, yeah, it is part of my responsibility. But, like, it at Chiz, that's a fun ensemble character choice.
That's legit.
She got pregnant.
Yeah.
Right. But you know what? She didn't quit, and she went to college anyway.
Exactly.
Good for her.
And got her degree. There you go.
Oh, good for you.
Yes. What is, talking about these long-running shows, what's the best thing about being in a long-running show? And the worst thing, I mean, you know, do you think you've missed out on things? You know, talk to us a little about...
I think the best thing, first of all, I would never bring up the worst thing about around anyone who didn't ask. Because, we're in the 1%. 1% of equity actors who are on production contracts. And so I really try not to complain about it. But if we are keeping it real today...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a job.
There are some drawbacks. So... Yes. Best thing, I think, is that I was able to have Georgia, which is my daughter, she's six. I was able to have Georgia knowing that I had a job to go back to as an actor, which is an amazing headspace to be in as a pregnant actor. I think that's a luxury.
Definitely.
Knowing after I have this baby, I will be employed again. I don't have to freak out about it. Also, we've gotten to travel a lot because I can schedule vacations. I can sort of predict my schedule somewhat, and we can afford it, you know, and that has become our family's favorite thing to do.
Yeah, you guys, travel.
We've taken Georgia to France, Spain, Mexico, Puerto Rico,
Japan.
That's amazing.
And it's been incredible. We love a credit card airline mile situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the drawback for me has been that being in a show for a really long time, I feel like I have sort of disappeared. So it's like I slowly have fallen out of the view of casting directors, of people, of writers, and it is hard to remind people that you're there. I think people, I don't even know really, but I think people hesitate to submit me for things. People, when I do get submitted for things, they're like, "Man, but she's in Wicked." I don't know. I mean, I'm not in the room, so I can't know if that conversation's happening. But I know that I get fewer and fewer auditions the longer I stay in Wicked. So, and while I've really tried to push a lot of on-camera stuff, which I feel like I'm even better at.
You had that run of commercials.
A really great run on the commercials. There was a big trend there for a minute where I was the most American-looking person in the world. And so I was very frequently hired for national television commercials, which was really great. And I still do a lot of commercials, not as many. But as much as I've pushed to be seen on camera and stuff, that's a very hard thing to cross over from. And also, people look at that and they're like, "I don't want to work around that show schedule." I don't. It's like, you know, trying to get more representation. I have a manager, and I've tried to get new people to submit me for TV, and they're like, "I don't know. You know, you're in the show, and people assume that you won't leave. I will leave." You know, but that's the thing. So I feel like, professionally and sort of socially almost too, I feel like I disappear a little bit, and that you have to make an effort to be like, "Hey, I'm over here." You know, like, I'm still here. And I'm even now that I'm a mom and I'm older and wiser and have lived life, I'm even better at a lot of this stuff than I was before. You know, like, I'm a deeper person. I'm a stronger person. I'm more interesting. I'm funnier. I'm, you know, because I'm a mom and because, you know, I've lived more life. But I feel like it's harder to get people's attention. I don't know. Do you feel like that happens
Absolutely.
To you?
Absolutely. Everything that you said. But I like, I have a manager, and she submits me for TV. And I've done a couple of things on TV. But the first thing they say, well, we're interested, but can you send over her contract with Lion King?
Really?
Yes. Wow. Does she have any outs? I have every out in the book.
Yeah.
You know? Well, will they let her go?
They let me go a lot, which is right. I have unspoken outs, but they want the contract outs I've had talked to people about.
Yeah. But I have those contract outs written in. I have got them written in. My agent at the time, because when I reached, she said, we're only going to do Lion King for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I said, fine with me, you know.
Right.
And but
I would have never dreamed that this was how long I did this.
Right. Yeah. And so she said, I'm going to write some outs in your contract. Because, you know, they have a tendency to keep you.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I was fresh out of graduate school. And I was like, okay, well, that's fine. But yeah, I feel like I have disappeared. And a lot of times I don't know if I'm speaking out of school, and you can edit this out if you would like, but people don't take musicals. Theater actors for serious actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that's true.
And that's legit.
And I'm classically trained.
Yeah.
Like I don't think I'm funny. I would say that I'm an actor first and not a singer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I can never get that straight play or they won't even see me for it.
Yeah,
you know, oh, you're in the Lion. I'm sorry.
It'd be different if you went in the room and did your best and you didn't get it. But if you can't
get in the room.
Right. It just doesn't feel fair sometimes, you know, which is a problem everybody has.
Absolutely. Yeah. Pigeonholed in
this. But I'm glad to hear that you have a similar experience. I really haven't met anybody else who has been in a show longer than me.
Really?
So this is a treat.
We have people in our show that have been in the show for 22 years.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's incredible. That's like that woman. Oh, I wish I could remember her name. But remember back in the day, there was a woman who was in Cats for the entire run, which was like 20-some-odd years at the time, right? It was the longest running show. And someone, I mean, she's like Broadway legend. Do you know what I mean? Like, there was this woman and she had two houses and she put her daughter through college.
Oh,
and
yes. Yep. I sometimes feel, I don't know if you feel this too, Benina, but like embarrassed to tell people how long I've been in the show.
Yes. But
especially
then,
other actors.
Yeah, but then I think, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I get like this, I get this a lot. Are you still Wicked?
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't know if they mean to have like an edge to it, but I want to be like, yes, and I'm very grateful. Which is usually what I say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because I can live my life and I have a husband and children or child and we travel
and I mean, husband. So I'm holding down
You're holding it down.
End of it.
Yeah.
While, you know, he has much shorter, more common.
I mean, I think that as actors, we come into this career thinking, you know, we have very high aspirations and we have expectations of what we are think it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do this show and then I'm going to go to this show and then I'm going to
be on the Tonys.
And I'm not leaving until I get a principal contract. Yeah, and I'm not going to understudy anymore, whatever. Do you know what I mean? So like you have these limitations you put on yourself and then you get into the grind of what it really is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all the real life around it.
The real life. Yeah. I mean, like you said, Lindsay, it's the 1%. Like, of actors that are, you're earning, 1%. You're living and living so your lives based on the income that you make as an actor. And there are so few of us who are lucky enough to do that. And I think that, you know, you also, perspective changes and your priorities shift.
Yes.
You know, especially once you become a parent, I think.
And everybody's different. My friend, Lisa Brescia from Dear Evan Hansen, she is one of my nearest and dearest friends. And she was in Wicked with me years ago. And she always says, don't compare and despair.
Mm-hmm. No.
So like, I think it's good advice that I try to tell myself a lot, but I still totally do it.
Yeah,
it's hard to wear it as a badge of honor.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It is because not many people can do it.
No.
Yeah.
Not many people can do it. You know, and so I wear it as a badge of honor. And, you know, when people give me that little edge, I've got a slick mouth.
Yeah.
And so I said, and how many years have you been in your show?
Yeah. Right.
On your production contract?
Yeah.
Well, or if you had a normal, if you had a normal job,
nobody would think twice.
No. It's like,
you worked at Bank of America for 12 years.
Yeah.
And exactly. Nobody would
and then
be
you
like,
retired
you
and it was fine.
Still
right.
Work
are you
Bank
still
of
working there?
Right.
Yeah.
But do you ever worry about the show letting you go?
Well, every year on the principal contracts, we are we get reevaluated.
Yeah. So, oh, I'm on a course contract, so a little different.
Yeah, so we have to renegotiate our contract every year, and they can say we're going to go in a different direction.
And they have chosen to keep you every year.
Every year.
Yes.
Wow. I bet that feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's I would say it's a blessing. Yeah. And I used to get really, really stressed out around this time.
Yeah.
Because everybody comes in and everybody's looking and evaluating, and you have to be at the top of your game. And then Sidi Manye, she plays Rafiki. Mm-hmm. And she's been doing the show for 19 years.
Wow.
And she's a mother.
Oh, my gosh.
As well. And she said to me, she said, Benita, you do your show at the top of your game every single night. She said, as long as you do your gig, don't worry about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's going to happen is going to happen.
True. Yeah.
And, you know, and my mother would say, she's, you know, a very spiritual person. She said, if you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray. Mm. And I said, oh.
I like it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now, hey.
Yeah.
I've done my due diligence. And, you know.
Just keep
it's another one
work.
Of those control things, right?
It's a control thing. And I have no control over it.
I mean, it's something I worry about a lot. But because I've seen people.
Well,
bought out of Wicked. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So every Saturday, I'm like, please don't tell me to come up to the office.
Wow.
After the show. But like you said, would there be anything I could do about it? No.
Mm-hmm.
So I do try to just do a really, really great job and do extra on a lot of things.
And that's all we can do, right? I mean, same with auditions. It's all the same. All you can do is walk in and do your best.
And be as prepared as you can be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hope that they see that and respect it and ask you back time and again.
Time and again.
You know?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Are there things, I'm sure, because I mean, I haven't been in a long-running show as a mother for a super long time, but there've got to be things that you've missed out on, experiences,
I'm missing
life.
The chorus concert tomorrow night.
So am I. Oh.
Why has it got to be Thursday?
Thursday.
At 6:30. It's so close.
Right.
I could almost make it. Because my kid's school is in Midtown. So
yeah.
Like, can I get like a 5:30?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss that every time. And I've just, now that she's school-aged, I'm starting to notice those things more.
Yeah.
And she's starting to notice them.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's making me a little emotional right now.
That's okay.
But like she brought it up, you know, like on the way to school, she was like, I wish you could come to my winter concert. And I was like, oh. So I'm going to the like final
rehearsal.
Music class.
Good.
Tomorrow morning at 9:30.
Good.
I'm going to do something like just at least a little bit embarrassing, like bring flowers or something.
Yeah.
And that was sort of the follow-up is what do you do to make up for it?
Yeah.
That's what,
There's things I try to find to be creative about it.
Right.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, my kids and they're so much older. It's like they've had so many things.
So many things. My daughter has her chorus concert tomorrow. And I think that she knows that I have this tremendous mother's guilt. And she said to me, Mommy, we are having the Trouble Choir chorus concert tomorrow. She said, but don't worry about it. We're terrible. You don't have to.
She tried to make you feel better.
She's trying to make me feel better.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know, and so I miss everything. Like I miss game night at the school. I miss the PTA.
I wish I missed the PTA. Those meetings are killing me so. Well, right?
I miss every, but you know, my son is a little different. He wants me there. And so it bothers me a little bit because that's my baby, but mm-hmm. both of them are my babies. But the important things, I try to get there. I try to take a personal day.
Yeah.
My daughter starred in this Christmas play at the Apollo a couple of years back called The First Noel.
All right.
Oh, cool.
With the Classical Theater of Harlem.
Wow.
And, you know, I made it my business to get her to her half hour every, get her to her rehearsals every day, drop her off, come down to the show. I made it my business. And then I had my cast come and support.
Oh wow.
And so I felt okay about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are your companies, do they generously give you time off, personal days to do these sort of things or no?
I think, yeah, Wicked, because I've been working there for so long and because I feel like I do an excellent job.
Mm-hmm.
And I do favors for them and I do all the Broadway cares and the things and the yes. things.
You're a team player.
I think so. They have been as flexible as they can be about letting me go shoot things, letting me go. I had a personal day for George's last winter concert and then I booked a Publix commercial and I had to go to Tampa. Oh. And I was like, well, dang. I tried. I waited at the airport an entire day to try to get back in time for the chorus concert, and I didn't make it. But I definitely bought like a $40 stuffed unicorn, you know, like tried to make up for it or whatever mm-hmm. I could do. But they are, and that is another pro to being in a long, long running show. Like if I was in Tina, you know, right. Oh yeah, it depends on the show.
Yes.
Because my husband, you know, was in the show with you guys, and that was a little trickier. Mm-hmm. Like if you were in Tina and it was tech and you were like, but can I have a personal day for the day before opening night
yeah,
to see
no.
the chorus concert? They would be like, you're joking.
Yeah.
But Wicked, if nobody else was out, would let me do it.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Same I mean, with Lion King.
And that's wonderful. I've heard that about the Disney shows too. I mean, it's just, and it only benefits your producers.
Oh, you know, yeah.
It only benefits the company because when you have people who have been there for so long, you clearly appreciate the work they're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you allow them to have the life moments that mm-hmm. we tend to miss out on, they will only stay longer.
Yeah. Yes.
And
the more
keep working for you. They're happy.
Do outside of the show that make me happy, the better I am on stage.
Yes.
Yesterday, I told Jared, my husband, Jared Bradshaw, when I got home, he was like, how was the show? And I was like, you know what? It was really great. Because I just started coaching kids for commercials because George's friends, parents asked me to because they are starting to get like agents and stuff. And almost all the commercials I do are with children.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to her little friend's apartment and coached her and her brother who both have agents and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that was so fulfilling and fun. And like, I was like, I was good at that. And then I went to the show and I was doing things differently in the ensemble and making different choices just because I felt like a little bit alive.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when they allow us to do other things like that, go shoot a commercial, a TV show, or be in a play for a couple months, you come back and you bring like this spark with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is in their best interest. If you go to yes. the chorus concert and everyone's like, how was it? And everybody, that's yeah. another great thing about long running shows. Everybody knows your kids
mm-hmm.
and they all want to know how like my friend Tanisha's daughter, Jordan's ballet concert was. And we all want to watch it on our phone and we mm-hmm. all want to, you know, see all that stuff. So it does make the show better.
Yeah. Well, that kind of leads to the next thing. And being in a long-running show is difficult in its own right, obviously. Keeping it fresh and new and trying to make
keeping
it alive.
Keeping your body from disintegrating.
on a rake stage like you both
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
And being a mother gives it a whole different set of challenges. So what is it you just said? You fill your cup up with different things.
Yeah.
Be it family activities or being able to do other things. What are your like tricks to be able to keep the show fresh at night or for the a millionth time you've done it?
Well, for my character, I just use life. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Shinzi's not the ingenue. She's not pretty. She's can I say bitchy?
Yeah. Sure.
She's a little bitchy. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, and she can be, she's funny. She's mean. She's, just her name in Swahili means mischievous.
Love it.
So
fun fact.
Yeah. I go in and whichever way I'm feeling, any way the wind blows, and I become Shinzy when I hit that backstage door. And they know I'm loud, I'm obnoxious when I walk in. But when I step outside of the door, I become Mrs. Caesar. Mm-hmm. And that's who I am. And that's what keeps it fresh. So if I had, if I saw somebody being stupid on NJ Transit, then I'm going to walk in with this attitude. If I see something funny on Instagram, it's going to be funny for me and I'm going to have a great time. I also have, the hyenas are one character. It's three of us, but we are one character.
Kind of a unit.
And we are a unit. And so we play off of each other and we keep each other on our feet. Mm-hmm. You know, Enrique Segura, he taunts me to no end. J-Bo, James Brown Orleans, plays Banzai, and he is my work husband, and he takes care of me. And I'm just bossy, and so I just enjoy it. I love my job, you know? And so that's how we keep it fresh. Whatever he comes in with, I'm coming right back at you with it.
Even the way you're, like, lighting up right now, just talking about it, it's clear that you bring that life. I can just picture it.
We have two characters at Wicked, Fanny and Shen Shen. You never hear their names, but my husband always calls them Shenzi and Banzai.
Are they trouble?
Are they
they're the two friends of Glinda. He's like, who's Shenzi and Banzai right now?
Oh, my gosh.
What I do, I mean, at Wicked, it's kind of a revolving door of new people all the time. There's definitely a bunch of people that have been there for years. And then I would say like a solid half the company are coming in and out, in and out. Like you'll start on the stage and we start over this set of grates in the middle with fog coming up. And you look up and you're like, I don't know who that is. And I've definitely, the curtain is down and you're already frozen. I've definitely held out my hand and shook somebody else's right before it comes up. Like, hey, I'm Lindsay. And they're like, well, my name's Alex. You know, there's new people that come in all the time because people get hurt all the time.
Yeah.
unfortunately. But so that keeps it fresh for me. There's definitely going to be a new person next to me at some point. But I also just have fun making new choices in the ensemble, you know, within the perimeters.
Yes.
Right.
Of always what I'm supposed to be doing. Yes. But also, you have to be in the exact same spot. But what I'm thinking about can change. And I think my favorite thing to choose is to be a horrible, horrible person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
So I like to just, like, hate Nessa Rose and be disgusted by the fact that she's in a wheelchair. Like, how horrible is that? It's the most horrible.
Yeah.
It's so
you know,
much fun,
or just
though.
Be like, ew, Nessa Rose, you know. Yeah. Or we all get to hate on Elphaba the whole time. That's pretty easy. So you can do that or, you know, be afraid of someone or little choices that you can make in the ensemble. With an ensemble track, you have a little room to do that.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that, you know, something about what you were speaking to, both of you said that you feel like you sort of had disappeared in ways or that you're not thought of. But I also know, I mean, I know Miss Thing, you got a voiceover you're about to go do. So and you do your commercials and just the life is full with being a mother.
For sure.
I mean, the balance and the juggle and the things. I mean,
and that's the best part of it. I mean, that's the best part of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very fortunate that I get to go home from Wicked and have this wonderful little person waiting for me. You know,
yes. Mm-hmm.
It's totally worth it.
Yeah, I have a snarky teenager.
I was the worst when I was 14.
But
was a horrible person.
She's pretty amazing, and my son is just my sweetheart. Boys are very special, that is. I look at them. I walk in, and everybody's asleep when I get home. But I go in, and
me too every day.
It makes me real. This is what I'm doing it for.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I'm, you know, grinding the way I am.
Yeah.
And my best friend told me, she said, you're not, and my husband says this often, you're not satisfied and you're not happy unless you're doing a million things at one time.
That's true. In the words of Hamilton, we will never be satisfied. We will never be satisfied.
Sons, Benita Hamilton.
Yeah, girl.
Get it here.
Uh-huh. Oh, my gosh. Man. So, Kara and I knew each other during our long-running show, The Jersey Boys.
Yes.
You know, with Jerry Bradshaw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was very fun because there were three people in our company who were all pregnant with girls in in a way, you know, two dads and Kara.
Yeah.
But Kara was the first mom.
Yeah.
At our company.
Blazing that trail.
Yeah. Yes.
I was very glad to not be first.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's hard. I mean, because I got a lot of advice from all these other people. So that must have been really hard to be like
the first.
So.
It was, I mean, it was definitely interesting and unforged territory at that company. I think in other maybe touring companies there had been pregnancies, but in Broadway there hadn't yet.
Yeah. Well, and that was something, you know, you were saying how fun it is that everyone knows each other's families.
Best, yes.
That was the best part of doing our show for so long with the people that we were with. I mean, there we didn't have a huge turnover at Jersey Boys. So we really,
as soon as she said that, who are you? I was like, that would never happen. That,
yeah.
You saw the same faces over and over again.
Oh my God.
They re-signed a lot of people on principal contracts too, like it.
Yeah.
We had, we didn't have much turnover at all.
We just had a great exodus. That's what we call it.
Oh,
ever so often, you know, they
just do a sweep,
do a sweep of the ensemble. And it just happened maybe a week ago.
Really?
Like circa 6 month riders or like buy people out?
Like buy people out.
Interesting. Wow.
And I just lost my thought just again.
No, whoops, that's all right.
It's mom time.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's like, well, that is, that makes me think about when they closed the original company of Les Mis.
Yes.
Because that is Broadway lore.
Right? Yes. I mean, because everyone had aged on the barricade for like 15 or 20 years.
Well, we have manager now.
That
explains that. That was tie-in. Yeah.
They did that at Phantom too. They didn't close it, but there was like a big exodus there.
Well, they did that on the tour. They just did that on Lion King tour.
Oh, really?
They took a 6 month break.
That must. Oh.
Six weeks
is all.
Oh, that's
to take.
All you need. Yeah.
Yes,
right.
And then they renamed the tour from Gazelle Tour to Rafiki Tour, and it was all new people.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
well, except for
so,
I don't think we
a few tried and true.
So that's when we really count our blessings.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
But, you know, yeah. So like, I'm glad that I haven't been part of the big sweep exodus yet.
Yeah.
You know, because I have gotten to meet other people's kids. Yeah. When I got pregnant, I think two people had babies before me, and then there was this huge gap of me being the only mom there for a while where I was like, but now there's lots of kids, and kids in the cast and the crew.
Yes.
And so every year, because we used to miss Halloween and it bummed me out, now we have Halloween off, but we used to miss Halloween every year. So every year I do like trick or treating at Wicked with the company's kids, and we go around, and it's so heartwarming to see. A, all the other parents bring all their kids and we all line them up and sit them on the couch and take pictures of them in their Halloween costumes, from like a 6-month-old baby to like an 11-year-old are all sitting there, and you're like, wow, these are these people that I've known for over 10 years. I've known this woman who's 11-year-old. It's like sitting in front of me, you know, and they're all together. And then the cast members in the show who don't have kids all get really excited about passing out the candy.
Aww.
And they dress up and decorate their rooms.
Well,
and
no one does Halloween better than theater people. So
they
go all out.
We love the costume.
For real.
Yeah,
for real.
We have a haunted Halloween at Lion King.
You've been there?
So you've seen me. I was the mean mommy walking around with the bottle and the cigarette hanging off of our lip.
Oh, wow.
And I would ask the children, you want some candy? And they say, yeah. I say, no. You know, and I would just scream all over. But and it's really frightening now. It's just turned into this huge thing because we were never able to take our children trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
And so we decided we were going to bring them to the theater. And it's grown into this thing where about 250 people, kids, and they go through the different dressing rooms and their different themes. I think this year's theme was The Shining. On one part of the theater.
She's
scary.
I know. I could take Elliot.
We have the scare room, which is the hair room,
yeah.
And they like to make it scary, and the children do cry.
Every
year I'm like,
no, the Lion King haunted house is it's intense.
Yeah. It's for big kids.
It's for
everyone.
It's for everyone.
Yes. Okay. My son will not participate.
Okay.
And I said, honey, we're gonna go trick-or-treating. He said, no, I'm not going. I said, no, you're gonna go. No, I'm going down the street. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And he'll come and sit in stage management.
You did what you could, Mama.
I did what I could.
Exactly.
So this, I don't know how this will affect you or how you'll answer this, Benita, because you got pregnant shortly after you joined Lion King. But what do you think, because you were in the show before you had a child, and then you've been in the show after you've had a child or children. So what do you think's the biggest difference in your performance, how you view it? Because it's so, I think it's so interesting to be in a long running show. I certainly experienced this. I did the did Jersey Boys when I wasn't a mother, and then I came back and I did Jersey Boys when I was a mother. And I think that it's an interesting journey to take. So
it's so surreal, at least, to be wearing the same costumes that you wore before you were a mother. I remember having that thought. Like, we went out for Voulez-Vous at the top of Jersey Boys, and I was thinking, the last time I wore these clothes, I wasn't pregnant. And now I have a child.
Yeah.
Like, it was just crazy to have that life experience.
Well, my costume pretty much stayed the same. I just got rid of the pregnancy belt. The difference for me, I just looked at things differently.
Yeah, me too.
You know, Shinzi is the matriarch, and it's a matriarchal society, the hyenas. The woman is always the boss, you know, and yeah.
Like those huntress lions.
Yeah, yeah.
Lioness.
Yeah. And I just looked at it differently. I feel like it grounded me more being a mother. I wasn't flying by the seat of my pants like I was before I was a mother. And I think that it allowed me, it gave me staying power. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, you've got to do this because you've got to pay tuition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Right. That's real.
You can't just go out there and, you know, try to be in a show or go and do regional theater and be away from your kid. Mm-hmm. Not right now. You have to be more responsible.
Important. Yeah. And you can't call out because you don't feel like it or you drank too much last night.
Right.
You know? Because you need that sick day when your kid has
Your kid has strep throat or when you have strep throat.
Yeah. Well, because you're going to because your kid did.
Because your kid did.
Yeah. So I use half my sick days for Georgia, I feel like, you know. Mm-hmm.
Do you find that you can be honest about those moments?
Yes. Our entire stage management team is moms.
See?
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
I at Tina are cool. PSM I can be like, mom. Like, y'all, full disclosure, last a year ago this time, I was like, heads up, we got lice. Mm.
Yeah.
And Wicked freaked out. It was like, out.
Don't come.
Right.
Yes. Wicked freaked out. They went on a rampage, just threw away everything anywhere near my station.
Yes.
Which I later pulled out of the trash and was like, you guys,
it's this all good.
Ceramic mug doesn't have lice.
Right.
They like steamed all the costumes and the wigs and they had a meeting and they sat everyone. This is because it happened before a matinee, classic, that we figured it out. They had a meeting where they brought everyone in the green room and they were like, you guys. And it was very somber and everyone was like, oh my God, oh my God. Lindsay in Georgia. And then they paused. Like we got in a car accident.
Oh my gosh.
And everyone went, oh, have lice. You know?
Wow.
And then everybody was like, oh.
Okay.
Yeah. But that, you know, that required a sick day.
Yeah.
For but sure. Yeah. But also, speaking of things that seem like emergencies, this is a big difference between how I felt about things at Wicked and how before Georgia and after. There's a lot of Broadway emergencies that happen and where everyone is like, it's like super high stakes and what are we going to do? And no matter what, we have to keep going. We have to do the show. And when you have a real human that you are in charge of keeping alive at one point with your body.
Yes.
When you've done that and someone's like, the lights on stage left aren't working and people are freaking out.
Right.
And you're like, this is not
an emergency. Yes.
This is a Broadway emergency. Or like recently, and this is something that I use to tell other, usually women, in the show who are crying in the bathroom. There's a lot of crying that has happened in that bathroom. I don't know about the bathroom at Lion King, but many a tear has fallen. So somebody forgot to put on a costume piece to underdress something. And the show had to sort of pause for that person to not enter. And there was like an apology email that went out to the entire company from this person. There was crying. And I was like, let me talk to you about something. This is not an emergency.
Right.
It's not. This is a tiny mistake in a Broadway show that's about a princess and a witch.
Right.
It feels so deep to everybody. But once you like are a mom and like have a responsibility that's real. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I take this seriously. I know that this show is important. I know that it's making millions of bajillions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And I know the bajillions of dollars are important. but it's not an emergency. Right. It's not.
My son, I walked into the theater. I'd just gotten off the train, and he was with the neighbors, and he had just learned to ride his bike 4 days prior to, and the last thing that I said to him was, do not ride on the hill.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a good rule.
Yeah. My son rode on the hill. Mm-hmm. I get a call when I'm walking right, stage management is right in front of me, and I said, what's going on? And he said, Mommy, I think I need to go to the hospital. And I said, for what? And he said, well, and the neighbor took the phone. She said, I'm taking him to the hospital right now.
Oh.
I said, what happened? And she said, don't yell. I said, okay. What happened? And my son rode on the hill. He lost control of the bike. He hit a curb, and he tore his scrotum. And so he had to go into emergency surgery.
Lindsay's face, I wish.
Yes.
That is not what I thought you were going to say.
Color me surprised. I did not think she was going to say that.
And he had to have reconstructive surgery.
Oh, my God.
The day before, they were supposed to go down south for the summer.
Oh.
And I had checked them in for their flights and everything. And I was, I'm going to have a moment.
The scrotum tear?
So, yeah, the scrotum tear. And I looked at them and I said, so apparently, I looked at stage management.
I'm going
to eat. I said, Noah, and I always have a story about my kids. When I walk in, they want to know what's going on with the kids. I said, so apparently, he just kind of tore his scrotum. And they were like, what? And I was
emergency.
Like, yeah. And she sent a picture and I showed it. Okay. And they said, see you later.
Right.
Yeah.
And I said,
they'll figure it out.
That's an emergency.
Yes, exactly.
That is an emergency.
Yes.
Yep.
These are Broadway emergencies.
Emergencies.
And they're not real.
Yeah.
One time they couldn't reach me to go on for Glinda as an understudy because we have like 45 minutes between shows on Wednesdays, like an hour. And I was solo parenting and I had Georgia and I didn't have my phone with me. It was in the back of the stroller. They couldn't reach me. I've been on like all week. So I was just on again, but they sent a stage manager to my home to bang on the door.
What?
Because I hadn't answered the phone. I had 14 missed calls.
Oh my God.
No, 14 voice messages, like many more missed calls. And I was in trouble and they wouldn't speak to me for like weeks.
What?
And because I didn't call them back and they had to put the stuffers in the playbills.
Yeah.
And I was like, y'all, when have I never just not come to work?
Right. Right,
and
right.
Not
you're like,
told
I've been
you.
Here for a minute.
Yeah,
you know
also, I just did Glinda like an hour and a half ago. Like, it's fine. But it wasn't, and I was like, this is not a real emergency. The stage manager walked me back to the theater after I said, well, do you want a quesadilla? Because I'm making one. So I made a quesadilla for Georgia, and I was like, you good? Okay. The babysitter was there, handed her over to the babysitter. We walked back to the theater together, and we passed a bunch of ambulances, and I said, this is an emergency.
Exactly.
I was in trouble for a long time.
Oh, my gosh. You guys, I think we could sit here and, like, talk all day.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we don't have all day.
No, we don't have all day.
Because we have to go to matinees.
Because
it's Wednesday. But thank you, ladies, so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me.
And it was such a treat to get to talk to you, too.
Yes, our lives are so similar, right? Just being in long running.
It is so cool to get to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. Special shout outs to Rachel Spencer Hewitt for our fabulous graphic, Kristen Anderson Lopez, Bobby Lopez, and Justin Ward Weber for our super theme song,
our producer Dori Berenstein, and of course the Broadway Podcast Network for bringing us to you. Have a good one.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.